What's up, y'all? This is Tony Powell, and you're listening to Powell to the People, the podcast, episode 270. Once again, the finest cast in all of podcasting has reconvened to talk that stuff. When I want to know what's going on with the New York City transit scene, there is absolutely no expert I have more faith in than my cousin, Mr. Keith Powell. What's going on, Keith?
Man, I am good today, and it's great to be with my family once again.
And when I want to talk local TV news, who do I go to? Who's my favorite director? None other than my favorite brother, Mr. Mark Powell, who's sitting in that chair right there. He's there, but he's wearing the cloak of invisibility. Actually, he's dealing with some personal issue right now that he's got to deal with at home. We're taping from home, and it's just how it is. It's the way it works. So he'll be back shortly. And when I want to have a word with the man upstairs, or if I want to talk local New York City real estate, there is absolutely nobody I have more faith in than the man they call Mr. Eddie Kane Jr. World calls him Derek Powell. His flock calls him the Right Reverend Derek Powell. What's going on, DP?
Everything is good. Always good to be in the cypher with you cats. How you guys doing?
I'm great. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because nobody is suing me for sexual harassment. That's why I'm good.
I understand.
Can't say the same for Sean Combs, also known as P. Diddy. And according to this latest legal filing, he diddied that shit. It is looking bad for Sean Puffy Combs. I sent you guys the link earlier.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of his producers is making some serious. It's a civil suit, and this is following up on Cassie,
the ex-girlfriend, sure.
Cassie, and you had the best statement on the Cassie suit, Derek. You said that the fact that he, you know, initially came out and denied it all, saying it's not true and blah, 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 blah. I'll see you in court. And in less than 24 hours, he settled up.
With that money, with that bag.
He got the bag up, you know, and had, you know, because apparently it seems as though these people are coming not only for him, but with receipts.
Yes.
Yes. That's
the
problem.
I was reading an article with with this cat, and when you make accusations like that, you got some sort of proof. And he's saying that he was drugged and he was repeatedly shown pornographic homosexual, not regular porn, but homosexual pornographic, and was introduced to that lifestyle by P. Diddy, one of his assistants. It's like they turned the poor boy out. And, you know, he didn't want to live that life. And now he had to live it because, according to him, Puffy said, this is how it is in the music industry. And what's bad, you have heard several other, you know, rappers, musicians saying that that music industry lifestyle is off the chain. It's like goddamn Sodom and Gomorrah in there, man, where anything goes, man. And it's like they're saying he's the ringleader, a part of that bad boy. What he said, won't stop, can't stop, don't stop, keep going, all that old bullshit. And that's what he was doing to them young kids, man. The minute it seems like he got them young boys in there and everybody talk about Aura, at least Aura could sing. This nigga can't sing, all he can do is dance and rap, you know. And he just making all these, and making these people do these things. And then you got your ex-woman. I'm telling you, by the end of the week, they're going to settle. That's my, yo, I believe it, because you can't come that hard with Pacifics. The way I read this article, and for Rolling Stone to publish it, they showed him something like, yeah, that's P. Diddy with the shoe. Yes, you. Okay, you and P. Diddy. Okay, here we go. And they're going to show him what you want to do, and he's going to have to settle again. That guy's out of control, man.
You make a great point. Rolling Stone,
they're not going to take that article,
is notorious for vetting their sources and making sure that
it's credible.
They're not going to open themselves up to any libel lawsuits. So, yeah, this young man obviously brought enough to them Rolling Stone did their due diligence. And they were like, yeah, we feel, you know, they talked to their lawyers.
Yep.
You know, good. They got in-house lawyers. They say, yeah, no, yeah, man, it's what we're it good. Is, printed.
Yeah, and, yeah, he did it. Do it.
And there's other allegations that are also in this lawsuit. He started name-checking other celebrities who were also young and groomed. And he mentioned the guy who performed at the Super Bowl.
Come on, man. Why we got to bring him up for?
Who performed the Super Bowl? It wasn't Dr. Dre. That was the year before. It wasn't 50, because 50 been saying it for the longest that, you know, Sean got some issues.
And 50 is supposed to have some stuff dropping too about this Sean Puffy Combs. Remember, you know, 50 said, you know, Puffy talked about, man, we got to go shopping soon. Like, go shopping. What are you talking about? I need your girlfriend. But he got some stuff. And one thing with 50, like he did with, what's that boy named Rick Ross? He just keeps coming until he pummels you. But the guy who did the Super Bowl, I've heard that before, but I love his music so much, man. But they say an Usher was, it might have happened to Usher, man.
It's not just Usher, it's all like, imagine being a young artist.
Right.
You're coming from nowhere, you don't have anything. And this man is selling you what is a dream of what you could be. But you got to do a little something for me.
Right. Come on. That's just ridiculous, man. You know, man.
Yeah, listen. Man, I mean, here. Why should I have to do?
No. Remember, Usher and them cats, they was young boys they were young. Coming to him. What's right. that other group? And I hope, and I like them, 112. All those were youngsters when they came, and they didn't have the gangster edge like the Locks in them. So right. it was a little different, you know. And remember, Locks got out of that deal.
Locks got out of that deal.
You know, I think they had to pay him some money. They probably threatened to kick his ass and expose him too. But those young singers, man, it was not just Usher.
It's not just Usher. He had a whole lot.
Yeah.
There's Justin Bieber too. And there's video of Bieber.
Not the Beeb.
Yeah. Listen, this is alleged. Let me make sure I say it clearly. Okay, alleged. Yeah. Because again, keep in mind, Puffy got Usher into the business.
Yes.
And who did Usher get into the business?
Bieber.
Right.
Damn.
He took him under his wing. And so I don't know. Like, again, I don't know. But these are allegations that have been floating around for a long time. Even the idea. Apparently this guy, I gotta find his name when I get a chance. I'll Google it real quick. But this young man said that Puffy admitted to the shooting that got Shine jacked up. He said he was the one that fired the shots. He's also alleging that Puffy was involved in a shooting in a studio in LA. So, you know, again, these are heavy allegations, and yet they're being published. These are the courtroom allegations that are enough to. I mean, again, you know, for a civil suit, the burden of proof is more likely than not a preponderance of the evidence. It's more likely than not this happened, and having paid off Cassie instantaneously to make something go away, it only makes this even worse. And it's not just. This young man that claims he was sexually abused and molested, but there are women who are also claiming that they were sexually abused and molested and you know, everybody look. I mean, once Cassie got out there, and I think we kind of talked about this, once she got out there and, you know, got the bag for what she was saying happened.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it was going to be a matter of time of before
everybody else
other that. People said, you know what, you ain't the only one. And right. and there's another person who's been saying this, and I've been saying this on the podcast, and I want to shout her out. I don't know her. I've never met her. But Jaguar Wright.
Out of Philly, right?
I believe out of Philly, yeah. Jaguar Wright has been making these videos and saying this for the longest time, and they tried to discredit her and tried to say, well, she's crazy, she's this, she's that. But she's been saying all of the same things that we're hearing now about these people. She's been talking about Puffy for the longest time, and they try to discredit her. And you know, you got to shout out the truth tellers, because it seems to be that now all those things she was saying, it has some weight.
Mm-hmm. There was a when Wendy Williams was on the radio, there was a young cat who I knew who went on her show. And I can't say his name because he's got a couple of cases he's fighting. And he said it then regarding that music industry, and he called Puffy by name then. And I remember Wendy saying, "You ain't scared?" He said, "Puffy know who I am. Nah, I'm good." And it was a bunch of names he gave. And this had to be like two, because he'd been away for a minute. So let's say this is like 2000. This is in the 90s. So you fast forward, and this is 2024, and it's resurfacing. And what is bad, they said it about R. Kelly. Initially, we got blinded by Chocolate Factory. Because damn, I've been going to war for him. And then enough is enough. And I think that's where it is with P. Diddy. Once you start settling and more people get the courage and like, I didn't want to do it. And like, you're freaking, I need to be compensated. She was compensated. I want to be compensated too. And he doesn't have a defense, because if they got anything borderline with receipts, he's going to have to pay. His whole image. And I think in the Rolling Stone article, his son is listed as his one son of the, Yeah, I think it's a, is it Justin?
Not the one by Albie Shore, the oldest one.
I don't know who's by who. One of the sons.
Well, the oldest son is by Albie Shore. That's the oldest one,
right?
If I'm correct.
How can he have a son by Albie Shore? You mean the baby mama?
He adopted.
He adopted. We haven't gotten that advanced yet to have that happen.
I mean, Puffy, man. I know you're doing the freaky deaky, but I know you ain't carrying babies too. So Albie Shore, baby's mama, son.
Which right. Kim Porter.
Kim Porter, okay. Right.
And that's Albie Shore's baby's mama's Kim Porter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, Kim.
Whoa. Let's pump the brakes for a second here.
Here we go.
Let's pump the motherfucking brakes here. Hold on.
Here we go.
I mean, it's somebody. Exactly. You know, because supervision is just going to act like what just happened didn't happen. It's one thing if you ease it and don't say nothing. But when you just jam it in and start talking, we got a problem with that, man.
All right, so obviously for our listeners, Mark just came in and sat in his chair.
And started bumping his gums.
Big deal about it. And you, even though the conversation was flowing, okay, and we were on to something, now
we still
going to
go right back to that.
We got to stop.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome, Mark. I hope everything worked out. I hope you got it all squared away.
Is he being docked?
Nothing from nothing leaves
nothing. $5. Yo, this is crazy, man. Remember, I went to the CIAA this weekend. I was supposed to be off.
Yeah, you should have been.
You see? I should have took the goddamn day off. Me being loyal to the podcast. You see what it gets me? Nothing. Guys get to come in. Guys, the computer, the work ain't working, the Wi-Fi, all these things is going on. You know, to the director, you know, my best baby brother and all this. How the director going to be late? And we just see his fist. We just see the chair. He just got up.
I got to call out. You didn't even turn off the camera. You could have turned
off the camera.
No, it happened.
There's times when he's empty seat.
Turns off the camera when he is there. No, he ain't there. He just got us looking at his goddamn chair. You know what he said? Kiss my high. I got something to do.
Well, I did kill the mic at one point.
Welcome, director extraordinaire. Welcome back, man. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to let that rock out. Okay. All right, so we're back to the Puff Daddy. Mark, we were talking about Puff Daddy. You want to continue? You good? This is crazy. We got to explain to our public that we're better than this, Super Bowl. We're better than this, man. You know, guys just doing what they want when they want. You know,
let me share this from a show business veteran.
Yeah, for the show business veteran. You know, go talk about
show business veteran. Things happen during the course of a show. Mm-hmm. And you cannot spend time addressing the things that fail because the audience still demands a performance and a show. As they say in the business, the show must go on. So if you're on stage performing Shakespeare and part of the scenery falls down, you don't stop and go, who the fuck fucked the scenery up over here? Somebody got to get this tree up. No. You keep performing Hamlet or whatever it is you perform, and you don't address that. You address the audience. You keep going on. You incorporate it into the show, but the show goes on.
Well, and I think we incorporated it well for our listeners because they see our professionalism. You know, we got a great topic going on, but we want staff to be known. We want the audience to know we hold each other accountable. And that's all we were doing, you know.
So you feel held accountable, Mark?
We held him accountable, man.
I'm fine. I mean, I'm not going to, there's nothing I can say that can make it.
There you go.
I don't care if you guys care or not. I mean, I don't care if you guys, I'm not trying to excuse, I did what I had to do because I had to do it. You know,
and that's fine. That's good. You know,
and when I got back in, I just jumped into the conversation because it wasn't the deepest conversation in the world. I could figure out what the hell you're talking about. So it wasn't like I had to sit there and get cliff notes. I just jumped in and started rocking. I don't think I should have probably done, but it happened so unexpectedly. Was kill the camera, but I was like, first of all, I was like, who's at my door?
we did see the fear in your eyes.
Yeah, because I was like, I look at the driver and going, I don't recognize that car. The boy, every car. We've all been in a place, you know, in a house, and somebody probably go, "Who is that?"
Exactly.
Especially like you had the times where you know somebody's doing a U turn, but that's the car was still there, the doors ring. I'm going, "Who the hell's at my door?" And then that's what it was. Like, oh, okay, you know. So yeah, I mean, if I had enough, I guess foresight, I would have muted the camera, clipped the camera. I did eventually, I think. I muted the mic, so I'm not sure if that was done, but you know, things happen. That's part of the thing of what we do. Because we are in our homes, life happens.
Okay. You know, I guess we good with this, right, Supervisor?
Yeah. No. Listen, as I said,
you don't have to ask him anything. You don't have a choice. This is how it goes. And it would apply to any one of you three.
Damn. Wow.
That's life.
I am a performer, and I understand. Oh, that's the guy. Okay, just so I'm getting information now. It's Rodney, Lil Rod. That's the producer, Rod Jones. Rodney, Lil Rod Jones.
Who's accusing Puff Daddy?
Who's accusing Puffy Daddy? Okay. Yeah, Puff Daddy.
Now, I was looking through his male roster here. He had 112, Adonis, Shakefire, B5, Big G, Black Raw, Bow Wow. Big Hooligan.
I didn't know he had Bow Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
He had a stable for a while.
Chucky Thompson, Craig Mack. Yeah. That's I think he was Barry White's godson or something.
I know Chucky Booker. I don't know Chucky Thompson.
Yeah. Well, I know Chucky Booker.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Chucky Thompson, 8-Ball MG, you know, Elephant Man, you know, it's part of his stable. He had a lot of people down with him. But when I look back to like B5, I think that one of the guys was there was a little, you know, on that side and B5.
What side is that? What side? I'm not clear with that.
He was gay.
Oh, you could say it. It's 2024.
He was gay. You know. But then when you look at it, a lot of the artists were young when they signed on to Bad Boy Records.
This kid is saying.
Yeah. They were young kids.
You get groomed.
Has Who else did the grooming? Anything that... Has he ever denied any kind of, I guess...
Well, he denied Cassie's initial lawsuit right away. He came out.
I ain't do that.
He denied it. And her allegations were just as spectacular as Lil Rod Jones's. I mean, her allegations of sexual abuse, of being passed around, of being forced to do things she didn't want to do. And it seems to be, again...
That's the pattern.
There's a pattern, exactly right. There's a pattern. You know, if you keep seeing the same thing over, like Bill Cosby and his cappuccinos, there's a pattern. So we're talking about, young people, impressionable young people. In this particular case, is young males. And, you know, they got to do what they got to do. In fact, there was, I think, an allegation. Yeah, and even that. In this situation, this guy, Little Rod, said that, you know, he would be, you know, taking a shower in front of him, like, you know, and like, you know, call him in for something.
Huh? Wait, exactly. Derek's face got me exactly.
Repeat.
Why would he take a shower in front of another dude? It's not a locker room.
And then you said call him. What do you mean? Like, he's in the shower and he calls Lil Rod in?
What? Right. Like, I guess, like, you know, I guess Lil Rod,
how old is Rod? We calling this guy Lil Rod. Is he in his 30s? You call no grown man, no little nothing.
He's not a child. No, he's not a child.
He's Rod.
Rod. So, but that's what he goes by.
So Puffy would call him into his shower in the bathroom?
Or he would, yeah, he would be, you know, like, again, and think about it in this regard. And think about it in this regard. I don't want to share because I'm not going to blow other people's spots up. But I've been at, in air quotes, celebrity golf tournaments with people that are pretty famous. And, you know, I'm not golfing, you know, I'm changing the duel, like, you know, my little comedy thing. And, you know, they just came off the links and they in the shower and they want to chop it up. And I'm like, yo, please, you know, put a towel on, dude. I mean, it's like, you know, what are we doing?
Are you in the shower, Anthony, or you just
No, I'm not in the
shower.
No, I'm in the locker room. You're in the locker room.
Okay.
Right? I'm making a point. The macro point is that, yeah, it's business. So let's just say, for instance, in this particular office, I don't know Puffy's office. I've never been there. But let's just say, for argument's sake, office has a shower in there and he's working. He's a producer. He calls him in about something to ask him about, in air quotes, to ask him about something, and he just happens to be lathering up.
You call me when you finish. When you finish, you call me.
Then you call me outside.
Wait.
Right. Or maybe the kid,
it's not that important. That damn long.
No, it's not that important. It's not but that this, important.
These are the allegations that you said. He's been grabbed. He's been fondled. He's been.
And that's what he said. Yeah, man.
Drugs.
Yeah.
So again, it begs the question: what's going on? And we just mentioned, like, you know, 50 has been saying forever that something ain't right there, and that he was, you know, as you know, just like these women. You know, it's funny, like the R. Kelly thing didn't really come to a head until the documentary, Surviving R. Kelly. All of a sudden, that preponderance of evidence kind of said, once it got everybody, you know, all of the authorities to start looking into the allegations and start taking the allegations seriously. So now, you know, within 6 months or whatever the time frame is between Cassie's lawsuit and other allegations and now this thing being filed, and I guarantee you, you may be right, Derek. They may move to settle this by week's end.
Sure.
But that just means there's more in the pipeline and there's other people in the pipeline who I think they're starting to turn their gaze to. Again, Jaguar Wright didn't just stop at Puffy. She said other people, including Hov, might be.
I heard that too before. Yeah.
Yeah. Trouble for these underage situations. Think about this. You know, we talk about, you know, R. Kelly and dating what's her face?
Aaliyah,
right. But Aaliyah, that wasn't the only grown ass man trying to get at her. There was other grown ass men trying to get at her.
At Aaliyah. And
yeah. God. R. Kelly married her, but other guys, and so think of, I mean, look. I've been around the business, in and around. I'm not on that level, but I've been around the business enough to know that, you know, just like the Michael Jackson documentary with these two young boys, parents feel like, okay, well, this is a chance for my child to get put on, never thinking that these grown-ass men are predators or will engage in predatory behavior on their children, on their male and female children.
Oh, how they,
you know,
can.
So Justin Usher's mom, Puffy's, you know, was acting as the guardian for Usher. I believe that.
That's true.
Right, acting as a guardian. So think about that. You know, wait a second. This knucklehead is going to be the guardian of your child, your son,
that's
and then you
heard.
Have Justin Bieber, who's a child himself, you know, that gets, in air quotes, discovered by Usher. And this video of Puffy talking to Usher, and I mean Justin Bieber, and Bieber looks shook, uncomfortable, just weirded out by the whole situation. And I would encourage anybody listening to the podcast, go Google it. Mm-hmm. Puffy and Justin Bieber, you know, conversation awkward or whatever you need to put into to the search bar to find it, but it'll come up.
Wow.
And Usher looks like somebody who is desperate to get away
from Puff Daddy
at that moment. And Puffy's like, yeah, you don't come around no more. We ain't see you. What's going on? Yeah, exactly. You know,
see you. I don't want to be there.
I don't want to be. You know, I get down like that. I told you that before, man. You know, I got to get away from you.
You know what's crazy? You know, you have all this money. You can have any woman basically you really want in life.
It's crazy.
But that's not enough for you. So you're going to be perverse and go in a different direction. No. It's crazy to me because there's too many women out here.
Why it's not about the women, it's about the power.
A lot of weird things. Right. That's the whole deal.
I don't need power like that. I don't need power like that.
The executive, you know, having a woman with the high heel step on them, doing all these little weird things or...
Yeah.
I saw this, not Pat McAfee, whatever, McAfee, the guy who did the virus scan. There was a doc on him. He was in some crazy, crazy stuff. It's like, I guess if you achieve that kind of success or that kind of fortune, you think a little different to begin with. The four of us have what I quote unquote normal minds. But if you mm-hmm. think you're going to be the best at performing or come up with some kind of, you're out there a little bit. So you think that your crazy idea or your off idea doesn't seem that odd because you're always thinking that in that stratosphere. So I guess a guy like Puffy thinks, or Cosby, or insert Predator X here, it doesn't seem odd to them, even though to the outside world, we know that's as odd a deviant it's behavior. Crazy. They just think it's like, it's just, you know, what I do. And the biggest, I guess, error of that thinking is that very few people say no. They don't think, well, she, you know, she didn't say no. Well, in the case of Cosby, she couldn't because she was drugged. She's out of it. But if you're the case of, like my brother said,
I'm sure he asked her too.
Usher's mom giving guardianship to Puffy for her teenage son, that seems insane. I wouldn't let my teenage son go to a movie with, say, an adult I barely know, let alone to another state. That just seems crazy.
Well, isn't he a young girl? I think we showed her picture a couple of months ago who said she was trafficked. They showed her sitting on Puff Daddy's lap.
Right.
Remember that? Because she came out after Cassidy when you actually got her actually seeing her underage on his lap. And you could tell that's a child. And it's like, you know, she's suing. Now you got this guy suing. This is... Something ain't right with these guys, man. Habitual line steppers, man.
Shoot, man. On social media, there's a suggestion that, again, these are allegations. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying I heard on social media that even Biggie's death is being called into question now because after Tupac died, Suge got all of the rights to the music. Didn't need the artist. He had the rights to the music. Mm-hmm. So after Biggie died, where did the music rights go?
Puffy.
Because Biggie was leaving Puffy. People act like, you know, we see the movie and go, oh, that's so tragic. No, Biggie, he was out. He was done. He may have seen it. He may have been part of it. Who knows? But he had decided, nah, I'm out of this. I can't do this no more. I'm one doing the grind. I'm a hustler. I know how to make this money. I'm going to make it myself. I'll create my own thing. I'm leaving. And if you leave it and all of your money is based on this particular artist, you know, and if Puffy is already saying, if he is telling this young man, Rod Jones, that he was involved in the nightclub shooting, he was the one that pulled the trigger. If he's saying he was the one that pulled the trigger in Los Angeles and using that either to impress or to threaten,
right?
Keep your mouth shut. Who's to say that you know, you around people like that. You around people that are going to A, hide the gun for you and take the rap for you. Who's to say that you didn't you know that this was going down and this was going to happen you know, this was going to happen to Big? Who's to say? Who's to say? We don't know. Again, this is speculation. This is hypothesizing based on what's coming out. I just get the feeling that we are at that surviving R. Kelly moment with Sean Combs in the sense that the ball is rolling downhill, the snowball is rolling downhill, and it's gathering steam and it's getting bigger. And at some point, he might be getting perp walked.
Now, you know what's scary, though? And this is where all four of us is going to have a decision we got to make. If he does get bagged and he does Fed time with R. Kelly, with him producing and Aura's vocals, do you know how fly that would be? Would we buy that music? Could you imagine them two together? Because they can do that music thing. They got those other fetishes. But him on, him producing, they get him some stereo equipment. R still got his pipes. We thought Chocolate Factory was something.
Think about that. He might be better. Really, yeah, you're right. Yeah, really. Step in the name of love.
About that, right?
It's got a different meaning than jail, but
oh, it's got a different meaning. But they would come out with something that will, yo, straight fire, man. Straight fire. You know, we got to think about some. You know, maybe next week we'll come up with some titles for their possible. Because it definitely would be them two. Because they never really worked together.
Maybe they did.
So what you're saying is, more commissary, more problems is what you're saying.
There you go. Don't stop.
Yeah, we'll see. My God. I don't know. We will see. Moving on. Like I said, just in the world of crazy. I mean, you know, before we came on, I was looking, just trying to, you know, looking for topics. And I saw that there is a jailbreak.
Jailbreak is like two or three guys.
No. This is like some Batman shit where the whole jail gets loose in Haiti. Like 3,500 prisoners escaped from the major prison in Haiti and have overrun the capital city. Mm-hmm. They're like declaring a state of emergency. They can't get it under control. These guys are going buck wild. They're murdering people, sexual assaults on women and children. They are just going buck wild in Haiti. And I said, can anything else happen to Haiti? What in the hell is going on down there, man?
They get everything, man. Hurricanes.
Earthquakes.
Floods. You know, they're like on the wrong side of the island. That's basically where they're at.
Yeah.
Now you got 3,500 angry niggas loose in your.
How all of them get out? Everybody in the same hole? Come on, man. That's got to be an inside job. So everybody can't get out. I can see 9 or 10. Everybody just bum rushed to get. Them officers couldn't stop nobody. They got guns.
Officers dropped the guns and got the hell out of there. Started running.
And turn them loose, that's out of control, man. I pray for those folks over there because they want the president out. They want to be the new government down there, man. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's sad too. You know, what people don't know about Haiti historically is that Haiti at one point was the richest colony in the New World. Haiti was the shit. Before they were the richest colony, the French had the richest colony in the New World. They were producing the sugar. That was the sugar capital of the world in Haiti. Haiti was the gold standard, was the jewel of the Caribbean until Toussaint Louverture said, nah, kill that noise, and overthrew their masses, had a slave revolt, and overthrew the French. Their French masters and their French government, which caused a panic with all the other European nations. That was the big fear. That's what, like, that action made it even harder for blacks in America and the United States to deal because they were so afraid of slave rebellions. That's where suddenly loitering laws came into place. You couldn't have a bunch of black people gathering together. They made sure they outlawed that. Slave patrols, all of that came from Haiti. And then they stopped trading, like the British and the Spanish and all these people that had colonies over there stopped messing with Haiti and kind of blackballed them because they were afraid that that revolution or revolution would spread throughout the Caribbean. So they went from being the richest nation in the Caribbean to being the poorest nation in the Caribbean, and they're still paying the price for having the audacity to want their freedom. Like these niggas that broke out of,
they got their freedom. I tell you that, though, man. That is crazy. I would love to see any sort of video because I refuse to believe that 3,500 people are running. Somebody got to be walking. Like, man, I ain't gonna run. They ain't gonna do nothing to me, man. That's out of control.
They ain't gotta run. They ain't gotta run. They walk.
They walk out. They gonna somebody stop open the gate and they just left. That's all that happened, man.
You know, all the cells went clink, clink, clink.
And everybody knew, get your stuff, let's go.
It's like what's the last Batman movie? The Dark Knight, whatever, with Bane.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
Dark Knight Rises. That's exactly what it is. It's like all the prisoners in the street. I tell you what about Haiti, though. I mean, years ago on a cruise, this is true. This is horrible. We stopped at this, they have these little private beaches that the cruise companies own. So they have this little space in Royal Caribbean owns this little space called Labadee Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Labadee Beach is just like a little tiny corner of Haiti, beautiful little lagoon, crystal crib, Caribbean water is outrageous. But just on the other side of the gate, the fence, which is hidden by the lush tropical trees, plants, the rest of Haiti. Damn. And, you're sitting there. So what they do is they let like a few of the people, a few of the local residents come in and sell their arts and crafts. And this is horrible, man. I feel bad to this day, but Americans ain't shit. I'm sorry. There was a guy that had put together because they're French speaking. He had put together a replica of the Eiffel Tower made from like ice cream sticks.
Okay.
This thing was gorgeous, made from ice cream sticks, like giant size Eiffel Tower. Right. And he wanted the guy said, well, how much, for your Eiffel Tower? $25 American. And then the guy started trying to talk him down.
For $25?
From $25, and then it occurred to me, I said, you know what? This guy's in Haiti. Ain't nobody got no money to buy no damn ice cream. So for the amount of time it took them to get the sticks to build this Eiffel Tower, this man's life's work.
Exactly.
He's trying to talk him down over $25. I was like, oh my God.
Damn.
And then I walked to like the sea, like where they, I thought you could just kind of walk, out. But then you get to where the fence line is, and it's two dudes standing there with submachine guns.
On the beach?
Oh no, that's to keep the
Haitians out, the locals from coming over,
and to keep us from coming out there too. I was like, oh, what's going on here? So it is shameful that. These people live in that level of poverty. Because you've been to the islands. You know how it is. Yeah. You go to different spots. Everybody's hustling. Everybody, okay, cool. We get it. Everybody's hustling and doing their thing. But I saw that man. I saw the look in his face when my man tried to get him down to talk him down off of $25. And I'm sitting around. I'm looking at, as I'm hearing this conversation, I'm looking around myself at the beach trying to see where can he even get ice cream sticks. I said, damn, man. I said, wow. I said,
it's a cold place, baby.
I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to get these fools back in there. But
they ain't getting back in. They get ready to overthrow the government, man.
They're going to come here.
Yeah.
That could happen, too.
What's the closest place? Florida for them?
Puerto Rico,
and come through there. Okay,
because that's what happens with the people from the DR when they want to sneak into the country. What they do?
They go to Puerto Rico. Okay,
they sneak on to Puerto Rico, and then you know
we need to tighten the security over there. Then.
Yeah, so
they have a problem with the border over there in Texas and Arizona. Mm. I think Puerto Rico
we're worried about right now.
Well, that's it. They got to come through there to go through Mexico.
Keep these people out.
Man. Did y'all see the 60 Minutes last night about the border?
I started to watch. I taped it. I didn't watch it. I know that they were talking to Abbott about, you know, why he keeps putting the razor wire down. And tell me about it. What'd you see?
This is crazy. They got razor wires wrapped, and people are still coming through there, cut up and everything, just to get here.
Yeah, it's bad.
He has put up trailers on top of the razor wires, so they're fighting with the border patrol. Because he has signed a law in effect that anyone trying to come into the United States from that will be arrested. But it just shows you how desperate these people are. They would swim over, change the wet clothes they have on, put on dry clothes.
Yeah, I saw that.
And continue the war. And they would cut the razor fist. I'm looking at the boy, his pants is being cut off. He's getting cuts on his arm and he's still coming through. And then they pass the baby through the razors.
When you come that far, it's like, yo, I can't turn back, man. You know, I guess, you know, because we don't know how desperate and what these folks are living through, where they say, I'll take the cuts before I go back over there with those cats there.
Well, the lady said she was more scared of the cartel than she was of the
border patrol.
The border
cartel
patrol
is real, man. They're vicious, man.
She said, I take my chance here.
And that's I think people, you know, and you know, it's hard for us a lot of times because we say to ourselves, well, you know, listen, you know, people right here, I know, especially in New York, and we say it all the time, you know, people right here are struggling. They're having a hard time. We're dealing with a lot. There's no housing for us. There's no money for us. There's no food, no clothing and all that. And I get it. And they're right. But think about the decision that a mother makes to take herself and her small children, you know, running the gauntlet. It's like, you know, we all watch the nature shows. You ever see like the migration of the wildebeest?
Sure, yeah.
You know, when they have to, you know,
cross the world.
Lions are getting them, the cheetahs are getting them, and the crocodiles are eating them. That's exactly what that situation is for these women who come across by themselves or have to come by themselves. They're prey for these men. Mm-hmm. Their children are prey for these men.
Sure.
They can be kidnapped, sold into whatever, sex traffics, sold into slavery, essentially.
Yeah.
And you know this when you leave. It's not like you saying, well, I'm just going to take a trip like Little Red Riding Hood's going to grandma's house. You know when you leave that you are facing possibly the worst possible situations, and you have to trust that somebody who really doesn't give a damn about you, some coyote doesn't give a damn about you, is going to do the right thing by you. You hoping for some humanity, but in a lot of cases, there is none. In fact, I knew a kid, young fella, who came over himself, and he, because of, this is crazy, because of the money that his family needed to pay to the cartels, because the cartels control the traffic in and out. It used to be like, oh, these coyotes, but the cartels got control of the coyotes because they're like, yo, what is it? There's money. There's money to be had by getting these people over. And, you know, and then when we get them over, you know, we own them. We can make them, you know, move our product, do whatever we need to do. And this kid was saying that, you know, he became the coyote. His job was to be out in the desert, you know, at a certain point, waiting for a group of people, and he was to play Moses, to lead those people. He tells me this in Spanish, to lead those people from that point to the next point, the next guy in the chain, to get them over to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when Border Patrol picked him up, that's where he was. He ended up in like one of these detention centers in Texas. He was there for about 5 or 6 months, you know, wearing the white jumpsuit. And then they sent him to another detention center further out, like in Colorado. And then finally, he claimed he had relatives in New York. And then they claimed him, you know, it was like family, you know, a family associates, cartel associates, and they got him to New York. But this is how I heard the story. And the kid was, I mean, you know, and you hear these stories, and it's not the first kid I've talked to. You hear these stories and you realize, wait a second, man, all these kids are traumatized. This is like the worst possible situation. And to treat them like this asshole, I'm going to say it, Greg Abbott down there in Texas, to treat them without any humanity, that's just, you know, I'm not here for it.
It's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah. Now, when you speak of humanity, over there in that Gaza Strip, man, they are now dropping food packages from the planes now. And
well,
then,
yeah, no.
Yeah, when I see this, you know, these people over there starving now, man. Something has got to change. Because I'm like, Israel is controlling the border crossings. So now you got planes flying in from countries and it's dropping down. And then they show the little food in the pack. And they saying, well, how are we supposed to eat this with a family of seven? I mean,
not enough food.
We got somehow something's got to change in 2024 because people can't be starving, man. It can't be starving.
Kamala Harris, vice president, called for a ceasefire.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah,
an immediate ceasefire yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's like probably the first time anybody, I mean, Joe Biden kind of said it, but because she said it,
mm-hmm.
you know, a black and brown face said it about brown people. I'm not sure it's going to resonate with the assholes and our government, but it's saying to those people, you know, in Palestine, in Palestinian territories, and it's saying to the world, yo, enough is enough. I think, right. you know, and I'll say it. If nobody wants to ride with me on it, y'all can turn off your mics. Y'all can leave the show right now if you'd like. But I'm
Mark left. I'm leaving too.
I'm going to say the United States has backed the state of Israel for the longest time. And this is not anti-Jewish. It's not anti-Semitism to say that the state of Israel is wrong. In fact, there are two different things. And I have to tell my, you know, I've been having this discussion with my Jewish friends. This is the deal. There's a difference between Judaism and Zionism. They're two different animals. Your religion, I think, is a beautiful religion of peace. But the idea of Zionism saying, yo, I don't give a damn. Our book says that land is ours. We're taking it and that's it. There's something a little wrong with that. And the Zionist attitude is what's causing this grief over here. You know, 1,200 lives were horrifically lost by an attack by, you know, Hamas terrorists, 1,200 lives. But at this point, you've gotten a retribution of 32,000. Don't tell me that each life is one Jewish life is worth 30 Palestinian lives. It's not. It's not. We can't live that way. And for these people to not allow for humanitarian assistance, to not allow these people to leave, and you're dropping bombs on them using modern U.S. military equipment, and you're not allowing them to leave. I'm sorry. There's something that just it messes with my spirit. I think it messes with the spirit of the world. And this is not anti-Semitic. In fact, you know what's really anti-Semitic? Dropping them bombs and not allowing these Palestinians to get food. Because here's the deal: Arabic peoples are also Semitic peoples. In fact, when they talk about Semitic peoples, they're talking about people from that region, the indigenous people of that region. And the majority of the people that populate Israel are European, from Slavic countries like Russia and Poland and Europe, post-war Europe and the Americas. Don't tell me that somebody who was occupying a space in Crown Heights has more right to that land than somebody who's been there for generations. I'm not trying to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, agree with you 100%.
100%. Yeah. We riding with you, boy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we're all going down together. You know.
You think, like you said, Anthony, over 32,000 people dead. Women, children. Babies. Let's not just say men. Women and children.
Yeah.
And you know they're all not Hamas people.
Of course
These are innocent people who are just trying to live their normal lives, just like we try to live each and every day. But now you have taken where they live, destroyed,
You have pushed them to the Outer Banks, where they're all living together on the outside, trying to eat, trying to get clean water, trying to wash, just trying to be people. But then you bomb that area too, so now they got to go to another place. Mm-hmm. So with the place that you're giving them to live and stay is becoming very, very small, because basically you took over everything else. Everything else is bombed out.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing left for the people. You ever go to Dave and Buster's and play whack-a-mole? That's exactly what they're doing. They're playing whack-a-mole with real people. This is insane. You know, there was a thing. There's a guy on TikTok. I don't know his name, but apparently in Teaneck at a synagogue, they were having, and this guy, you know, it's a Jewish man. He lost it. He was like really upset about it. They were having an auction for real estate property in the Gaza Strip.
Wow.
Think about what I just said.
Yeah.
An auction. They were going to inside. They were going to be bidding on real estate. I'm not sure how they divided the land up. I'm not sure if they used lots or whatever they used, or a map or something like that. But they were having an auction for the space, because Bibi Netanyahu, and I said it, Bibi Netanyahu does not recognize the Palestinian people. He does not recognize that they have any right to exist. And so this is supposed to be our ally. You know, I know that in America, in Michigan, in places like Michigan, where you have large Arab populations, they're very upset with the Biden administration. They're very upset with them. And they feel like they should have done more. And this has unfortunately been U.S. policy since 1948. But Trump and Bibi are the same. Neither one of them give a damn about these people. So if you think that Trump is a better option, or if you mad and you want to stay at home and you know, trying to show Biden and trying to, you know, I'll show you. I'm sorry, my brothers, my brown brothers, my Palestinian brothers, my Arab brothers. Y'all better recognize that all brokers are not the same. All power brokers are not the same. And this guy will have y'all, will gladly let Bibi do what he want to do, just like he will gladly let Putin do what he want to do.
Yes. Well, yeah,
he has an affinity. We've always said, or it's been said, that he has an affinity for dictators. Netanyahu's a dictator. Putin's clearly a dictator. So is
the young boy in North Korea.
Kim
Jong Un.
Yeah.
He's
gonna. It's not gonna be any better with this guy in office, because, I mean, Netanyahu's stated verbal thing is he's trying to get rid of Hamas, but I believe when he says Hamas, he really means Palestine.
It's the equivalent of saying you have a cancerous mole on your cheek, so we're going to get rid of the cancer by destroying the whole damn body. Yeah, mm-hmm. You got rid of the cancer, but you destroyed the whole body.
You didn't say,
yeah, we're going to just remove this problem. Nah, we kill it all. We got rid of the cancer.
Everybody
got it. Before we run out of time, a couple of things I want to shout out. Caitlin, what's her name? Clark. Caitlin Clark is now the all-time scorer in NCAA basketball history. She passed Pistol Pete. Now, I know it's as apples and oranges, but I mean, I'm not going to, you know, diminish her accomplishment. She's the all-time scorer.
Division one in basketball
history, college basketball history. Also want to acknowledge the fact that Richard Lewis, comedian, passed this weekend from
the title.
Kirby Enthusiasm. Mark is not crazy about his comedy.
No, I don't think he's funny. I never thought he was funny. But back to Caitlin Clark for a second. I was one of those guys who felt, not this girl can ball, flat out baller. But I thought it was like one of those deals where, like, LeBron right now has surpassed 40,000 points. Granted, he had a 4-year head start on the guys previously to him, and also in the case of the luxury of a 3-point shot. And I was always like, man, if Pistol Pete had 3-point shot, he would have had who to put the number out there, some crazy numbers. But then I heard something today which totally changed my philosophy. Yeah, that's true. He would have had a big number. But you also forget, Pistol Pete shot 40 times a game. The average is 35 points. And this person said, what if Caitlin Clark shot 40 times a game? Then it would be off the charts. So,
right.
Yeah, granted, Pistol didn't have the three-point shot, but he was taking 40 shots a game to get his 35, 40 points. This lady has, she's taking maybe 20 a game, something like that, to get her 35 or so points. And granted, she has a three-point shot. But when I heard that stat, I was like, okay, you know what? I got to back off, because I was kind of being to get off my lawn. You know, what if, you know, if he only hit a three-point shot, Pistol? Well, the dude's taking 40 shots a game, and she's taking 20. You know, I got to say, you know, if she took 40 shots a game, she'd probably average 60 points a game.
Right, no, the efficiency is off the chart. Her efficiency is clearly off the chart.
That girl she's a baller. I like it. And I like watching the ladies of South Carolina play, because those girls, women, however you want to, you know, whatever you want to say, can ball. And I like watching Caitlin. She can ball.
Also want to shout out the family of ESPN, longtime ESPN football insider, Chris Mortensen, because I always confuse him with the kicker too. Chris Mortensen.
That's right. Yeah, forget about that.
Is passed away. I guess his complications of, I believe he had stage 4 throat cancer, and for years he soldiered on. You could see that he was diminished. I mean, the amount of radiation I think kind of diminished his mental capacity and his ability to speak. But he's the guy, like, you know, Adam Schefter. Now everybody talks about Schefter and how much these guys know. And there's another guy for NFL Network.
Albert Breer, who's one, and also Breer, Albert Breer's and his independent.
Yeah, these guys who are insiders, but really there was no such thing as an insider until he kind of came along. I mean, you have to go all the way back to the guy who just retired, Sports Illustrated. What's his face?
Oh, Peter King.
Peter King was probably, you know, one of those, and of those guys, he's one of the giants in terms of getting us behind the scenes of the game and letting us, you know, take a peek behind the curtain. So just rest in peace to his family. Jason Kelce retired officially after 13 years in NFL. So he can go to more concerts, Taylor Swift concerts. I sent you guys the Allen Iverson letter to Kobe.
Oh,
you guys
watch that? Yeah, I watched beautiful. It. It was
beautiful.
Very good.
Beautiful.
Very good.
Beautiful.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah, it is arguably, to me, one of the most moving tributes that I've seen regarding Kobe Bryant. You know, it is the most poignant thing. You know, you're not a man if you didn't shed a tear when you listen to it. It made it seem like yesterday, you know. And I guess maybe that's why he did it, because I think it was 2-3 years ago in February that Kobe.
Yeah, 2020. Just before COVID. Right before I graduated. Yeah. Retired. Right before I retired.
That's before Kobe. First came Kobe, then came Kobe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So
and I liked it that, you know, what I liked about it most, his letter was his language, because that's how Allen Iverson speaks. You know, where, you know, he's not, you know, he's a street dude, and he talked to him, you know, just like that from the heart. And I kind of forgot that their careers kind of mirrored each other when they're both in the league the same time.
Same
and
draft.
Then when you start seeing the pitches together, and I'm like, yeah, he's right, man. And you put me, and it was really, by far, it's the best one that I saw. It was the best one that I saw.
Yeah, one of the best quotes about Iverson ever. He said, you guys are lucky he wasn't 6'6".
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Kobe said it. If he was 6'6",
he'd be a problem.
Assassin. So, really good.
And finally, I also sent you guys a picture of the of space. And at first, I saw I wanted to share it, because it was such a wild thing to me. At first, I thought I was looking at what they call a star map. I just thought it was like a shot taken of a bunch of stars in space, and then the description of the visual was that it wasn't stars, but each one of those little dots was a galaxy that featured billions of stars. And each one of those stars had at least one planet around them. And then I realized that you really cannot begin to comprehend the size of the universe. And that's not even like a snapshot of the universe. Mm-hmm. It's just a snapshot of a section
of the universe.
Yeah, amazing.
So it puts all this in perspective. We are really just small specks in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, so it's so small we can't even process how small we are in relationship to all that goes on out there. So we're just trying to share our little small slice of what we see and perceive in our world. Folks, if you have not subscribed to Power to the People, make sure you do. Anywhere you can get your podcast, you can get us. Anywhere you listen to the podcast, you can get us. And if you're too lazy to search it out, ask Alexa to play Power to the People. If you got a new car and they got Pandora and they just find us on Pandora, we're there. We're everywhere you get your podcast. We're also on social media. Power to the People on Facebook. Easy to find. Power to the Peeps on X, POWELL, the number 2, the letters DAPEEPS, Power to the Peeps on X. We're all on Instagram, and you can find us back here doing the same nonsense next time, next week. See you then. Peace.